Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I don't talk to nobody before the game. I'll talk to him after the game, after we beat him.
Brady, under pressure, being chased. Sack! They get him again!
So how much trouble are those Patriots in?
Tom Brady looks his age.
Tom Brady has a wet noodle for an arm right now. Say what it is.
He looks old!
The cliff.
Who are the Patriots?
We didn't really do much anything well today, so everything was a problem.
This is the worst case scenario.
They got issues.
They ain't going to the Super Bowl.
It's over.
This is something that spells doom for them.
When you win, you know, you could say a lot of things.
Right now.
Sack!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
That's what you call an old-fashioned ass-whooping right there. That is an old-fashioned ass-whooping. Nobody saw it coming. Except one big lug on a Wednesday here in the afternoon.
Yeah, you did?
I think I did. I mean, do we have it? We're going to start with that right off the bat? I mean, I think we should at least take a victory lap, right, Ryan?
All right.
Maybe not. Wow, you had that in there. You just had it.
Yeah, but he does it like every single week. I mean,
that's not true.
No, that is true. Because in your week before, you picked... It's okay. You sort of like.
Can he start over?
I think you have.
Can we start over? Yes. I'm still settling in.
You picked Kansas City.
Yes.
Did you? I think you picked Chicago.
Yes.
You did. And then you picked Tennessee.
They got to get to five losses, Lou.
Lou, haven't you learned how this program works? On Wednesday, he picks one team.
And then
he finally looks at the tape, and he suddenly says, "Oh my God, they suck."
I should listen to my gut. Right. That's what I should do.
I should listen to my gut. Stop.
My gut tells me one thing.
Yeah, because you thought Tennessee would win, then you looked at the film and said their offensive line sucks.
Yeah, and I start doing more. I see you overthinking. I sat there right away. I was like, you know what? This team can easily compete with the Patriots.
Do you remember last Wednesday, you and I are sitting there going, there's no way.
I didn't think they could score 30.
Right, no way they could score 30. And this lug comes out and says this.
So they're going to lose to the Titans.
This week?
No.
Yes.
You're taking the Titans this week.
Yes. They could lose one more game. They'll lose one more.
31-20 Titans.
That's it. What'd you say?
31-20.
She's pretty damn close.
Wasn't bad.
31-20 Titans.
That's it.
Then the very next day, after he looked at the film.
Well, we look at the film.
We just need to talk about
the film.
You can beat them without these guys. You should be able to beat the Tennessee Titans without Gronk.
Oh, there you go.
So without Gronk.
Was that yesterday?
What did you do on Sunday?
It was Thursday.
What was the tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker was a tie.
Whatever.
They're going to tie.
That team, I haven't seen that team get their ass whooped like that in the middle of the season. Since 2010, maybe, at Cleveland? Peyton Hillis? Eric Mangini?
Nope.
Yes?
Nope. I'll give you better. Second half of the season. The last time they got their ass whooped like this?
Yeah.
2000. November 2000.
What? When?
2000.
Who? Wouldn't you consider week 9, 2010 against Cleveland? They lost 34-14. At Cleveland.
No, you might
I would
be,
put that in that category.
Right about that one.
That's an ass whooping.
I remember.
But that was
case.
A September loss for this team. That wasn't a November loss for this team.
Well, that's why I think this one is disturbing to me, because you can say all you want. They every once in a while they get blown. No, they don't do what they just did yesterday.
Oh.
They do not get blown out when they're fine tuning in November and December. We see it in the first 4 or 5 weeks. You don't see it in the last five or 6 weeks.
Well,
no.
So why is this any different than when they start at 1-2? Like, they do this every year. They do this every
because
year. They do it every year.
They don't do this every year.
This
is what they don't do.
Well, so you can't look at this. Listen, because I've been feeling it all along, because this is an 11-5 team. Okay, they are an 11-5 team all day long. This is what an 11-5 team looks like. You get beat up on the road, and I would say. The last six games, you built up all this goodwill equity. You know, everybody's feeling good about themselves. You got the bye week, you know, right around the corner. You take a road trip to play Tennessee after they played on Monday night. They're not rested. They're not practicing. And you're sitting there going, we just beat Green Bay. We just beat Aaron Rodgers. It looked like Bill Belichick dodged a bullet. Oh, thank my lucky stars. They're so good. You know, we were able to come out with the win. So then you're practicing. You're not even practicing. You're walking through on a Wednesday. You have your helmets on, but you're not doing anything. You're giving everybody a rest, and you go out there and you lay an egg. You lay a big.
Are you saying because
giant,
it didn't work during the week?
Egg. I'm saying mentally, I think a big part of this is that they were looking ahead. They thought that they had already arrived, and this was just Tennessee is just in their way. Look at the very. You don't have to look, but to the first quarter, Allie, the first series of Tennessee, both offensively and defensively, the kickoff return, they've been having issues. They go all the way down. They're 7 plays later, they score. Patriots get the ball. The first play, James White gets killed A second play.
He did, boy. I thought he broke both his legs.
Yep. Just
both
the
his
whole,
kneecaps.
Everything about it was, to me, everything about that game made me believe that they were way more prepared. Tennessee was way more prepared.
31-20
We can go through the whole thing.
Yeah, but a lot of teams are more prepared, but they just they still don't execute
it. Yeah, but this is much different than what happens, let's say, in the Detroit game earlier this season. This is later in the season when you're fine-tuning and getting your act together, okay? This is not what the Patriots do. So to me, when we were talking about the first four or five weeks, I said, this is no different than what we see with the Patriots. This, what you saw yesterday...
In
week 10, that is different. That is much different. We do not see that. That, to me, is alarming.
No, I would agree with you. I mean, and the worst part about it was, too, it was defensively, it was your best defender in Stephon Gilmore.
Unbelievable.
Now, it was illness, sickness. I don't know what the hell it was.
He had the Corey Davis flu.
He had something. It wasn't just Corey Davis flu. Who's the tight end, too? He gave up a huge play to. Was it Smith?
Yeah.
Huge play to him down the sidelines. Remember the one after I think he kind of fumbled, the one out of bounds?
Yeah.
That was Gilmore, one-on-one with a tight end. I mean, Davis just absolutely shredded him. And I don't know, too, whether it was like Aaron Rodgers that focused so much about keeping him in the pocket. Did you lose focus against Mariota? Because he was running around doing whatever the hell he wanted to do. No, defensively, it opened your eyes because you're so used to, like you said, well, is the first 3 or 4 weeks you have a game like this.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of clean it up, and then by now you're sort of like, we've seen them lose games in the middle of the season before. Hell, last year, that game I was telling you about down in Miami, last year, remember that? They were like 10-2, they went down there and they got smoked, but you're 10-2, and you're sort of like, okay. This one here, they got embarrassed. This was a week two, week three loss.
Just to play devil's advocate, why can't you just look at this as, this is just one of those games, right? You just didn't have it, and you chalk it up, you bury the football, you chalk it up. No, yeah, of course you needed it.
Wait a minute, you're chasing Kansas City.
Yeah.
There's a difference between giving up a game in Miami at the end of the year because you're sitting there going, we really don't need it. We're sitting in the driver's seat. You are now chasing Kansas City, and you are now chasing Pittsburgh. So you're looking at it saying, we need home field advantage. This is a big, huge game.
Okay, so why can't you even give any credit for that? They came out flat. They did it. They thought they were better than this team. They overestimated how good they were.
I think that could be huge.
I'm putting that like it's 25%.
All right, but
here's
the thing. So you want to just bury the football, yet you still think they got two more losses that they're not a very good team.
No, I'm saying I was playing devil's advocate. Luke,
well, okay.
On that point, when I asked that question, I was devil's advocate. Now I'm just me. I'm back to being me.
Best case scenario.
And just for the record, that quote that Ryan played in the opening, that was me talking about the bye week.
Oh my God.
The worst case scenario for this team. You go on the road, you get your ass kicked.
Please.
You get embarrassed.
You take me out of context every day.
Are you accusing me of being deceptive?
And now what?
And you're crying like a little wuss.
And you cry like a baby.
Please. But if we had sat here on Friday and said that the game plan, because we talked about the game plan. Game plan is you take Corey Davis out of the game. We were worried about Deion Lewis. I don't think Deion Lewis was a major factor in this game. He was okay. Not a major factor. Corey Davis was a major factor right out of the gate. If I told you right out of the gate, they're going to go to Corey Davis, and they're going to challenge your best cornerback. You'd sit there and say, okay, good luck with that. Good luck. You know, maybe you try to get some help. Good luck.
To me, they
destroyed Gilmore.
Yeah, but this is what you do to the Patriots, and Vrabel knew that, and it's what they executed. It's like, to me, when you start making the offense look like they do early in the year, you have an entire team second-guessing yourself. The offense needs to carry the New England Patriots. And when you look at it, and I don't know if you're talking about devil's advocate, you want to just throw it away and say you got a bye week coming up, and that's good because you had no Gronk. Trent Brown's out of the game. Your offensive line's an absolute mess health-wise. Edelman leaves the game. He might need a breather because anytime you look at Josh Gordon as your number one target, a guy you're going to rely on, where that trust has to be, you're in trouble.
I agree.
So they punched your offense in the face. They got Tom Brady's face right away. They only got, 3 sacks and 3 hits? Any other quarterback, maybe they get 7 or 8 sacks. Because how many ball times did he just throw the ball away?
Two. He threw it a lot.
Threw it away all day long. Yeah. So you to make their offense look like that, and that ripple effect all the way down to your roster. And you got an entire team questioning your team when the team comes in and does that to Tom Brady.
Well, here's what's amazing. 34-10, you get blown out. You never turn the ball over. You never turned it over one time.
Well, that was the good news.
So, wait a minute.
You don't need to. You're 3 for 15 on third down.
That is bad news when you get beat 34-10.
Is that the bad?
There is no good in this one. I'm sorry. I can't play any
this is good. Edelman? Good.
Zero.
Edelman. Allen, the punter. Your punter. Your punter had a great day.
Okay.
Edelman had a good game.
Yeah.
Then he left the game with an ankle. Yeah.
So there are so many things that went wrong. Was there some type of flu bug? We know Trent Brown had it during the course of the week. And by the second half, matter of fact, late in the second quarter, you notice what happened. Waddle's coming in, and Trent Brown is slowly coming off the field. So you could tell he was having difficulty. Here's the other thing, and you tell me, Christian. He seemed to have trouble, and they all did, with the defensive linemen standing up an awful lot. So they were standing up, setting two guys outside standing, and Trent Brown wasn't sure whether he was supposed to get down in position, stand up. There seemed to be some confusion.
I just felt like there was a lot of that. And listen,
we haven't seen a game. We haven't seen a team.
I'm trying to figure out what the good was. Like, really, what was the good?
None.
Dwayne Allen got a pass. Okay.
Then he got hurt.
let me see what else.
What else you got? Anything else?
Let me see.
Chris Hogan played a lot of snaps.
Chris Hogan.
A lot of Patriot. Yep. A lot of Patriot fans were down there. Here's a good weekend.
And the other thing is that there was a lot of fan support. Like more than usual, so you can't sit there and go, you know, we couldn't match their energy.
Should battle a hostile environment.
You know, it wasn't a hostile environment.
It was a home game. It was a home game for them.
The one thing that stood out to me the most, and the thing that I've been harping on for a while, is just their reliance on Josh Gordon.
Yeah, it's starting to annoy me.
What he has become. And if this is the last thing you want him to be. He is not your number one. He can't be your number one. The king of the slant route. I want him to call him the king of the slant route. He can't even catch that anymore. And that's like what he does best. The go route, right? He made a couple big catches. That first series, that third down play. Good job, okay? But after that, so he catches that pass. It was, third and 10. He catches that pass. Big play. They go to him right again on the other sideline against Adoree Jackson. He drops it.
Fingers.
Should have caught it.
Yeah.
Tough catch.
That's not the slant, though, right?
No, it is.
Third down slant.
Very next play.
They
throw him a quick hitch. Okay. Good coverage by the Titans. No gain. All right. What are we going to do now? Well, let's go to him again. That's four plays in a row. This is the slant you're talking about, and he dropped it. Third and 10. Four times in a row? What are we doing here?
I'll tell you, I'm a big Josh Gordon fan, correct?
Like, yes.
Or expectations. Yeah, you're in big trouble if he's like your number one guy.
No question.
I mean, we were talking about before the break, like when they watch him, because obviously it was a lot of targets, so they kept showing the replays of him. And I'm wondering if there's like a fast twitch muscle in here at all. Because it looked like, I mean, and maybe it speaks to his overall just talent, whatever, because he still gets open. But does he ever look like he's moving fast to you?
No.
At all?
He's like someone in the NBA, always at like 70%.
But it doesn't even look like it's like he's not giving the effort, but the speed is still there. Sometimes it just looks like he's just sort of running three-quarter speed the whole time. Is he fast?
I feel like his game is a lot like his life. Like, it's like, well, you know what? It's like, well, yeah, I don't want to be bothered with this. I'll do whatever.
See, 9 targets in the first half. Now, they only went to him 3 times in the second, maybe, because I don't know, after a while, they're just, how many times can we go there? But 9 targets in the first half. And at what point, you got to let Chris Hogan do what Chris Hogan does, right? At least look his way.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is anymore.
Because he was out there.
I don't understand
the Hogan situation, because Hogan is out there an awful lot, yet 3 games now. They are barely throwing to him in 3 games. And I know you can't see the whole field because we're looking at the TV version of it, but there are times, even with the TV version, you can see some separation there. I don't get it. So Brady was asked this morning on KNC about this dependency of throwing the football to one guy and not spreading it around.
I'm just trying to find open guy, you know, and I'm trying to throw it to the guy that I think is going to be the most open based on the play and where we're running and what the defense has called. And I don't always do that. I mean, I certainly make mistakes in my reads. I'm not thinking much about, you know, who's where, and a lot of those things are game plan, and we're putting guys in certain positions, you know, based on situations, and then I'm just letting the coverage kind of dictate where it goes. So it's not like we're throwing into triple coverage. You know, we're throwing into one-on-ones, and, you know, Josh got some opportunity, Julian did. You know, Chris didn't get it as many as he would like, but, you know, again, we'll just have to look at how things have played out the last few weeks and then figure out how to get everyone, you know, more looks, more targets.
Okay, I'm not buying this. And I'm going to ask you guys, I almost get the feeling right now, and you can look at the early passes, nine of them very early on to Gordon. I almost feel that the pressure is getting to him. He's got to be pinpoint if he's going to throw under pressure at that point. And it's much easier to throw the ball anywhere in a catch radius for Josh Gordon, and he can go out and get it and bail your ass out. I almost get the feeling that Brady is hesitant about throwing it to some of these other guys right now because of the pressure. He doesn't have time. He's got to release quickly, and he doesn't have it. They were beating the crap out of James White coming out of the backfield, if you notice.
Well, if you paid attention to the keys that we had, okay, on Sunday, if you listened to the pregame show, that
keys,
was my
keys,
key.
Keys
that was Fourier's
key.
Key.
Well, they set the tone, that's for sure, on that very first
keys,
play.
Keys, keys!
Yeah. I mean, they just lit him up on that
God,
first play. But
ever.
Hogan... So they have a three wide set almost the whole entire game.
Yes, right.
I was just looking at it because Ricci had it. Was like 54 snaps for Edelman and Hogan. Oh, Gordon had 55. 54 snaps, and he had one target. And I think it came at the end of the first half. He threw it like out of bounds. You know, they're trying to get that extra 5-6 yards to give Gostkowski a chance. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but after he threw it, Hogan kind of just stood there and he was like walking. And Brady looked at him and screamed. The camera was on him like, huddle up. And then Hogan kind of, then they went right to Hogan. It was almost like he was talking to him.
Oh, what are we doing?
Like, get back here. Let's go. We got a huddle. So he was pissed at him about something. 54 snaps, and that was the only target all game long.
So, Christian, is it Hogan right now, or is Brady looking at Gordon to, because they've made Gordon the primary receiver, and I agree with you guys. This is not a good development. He's a good guy to have.
I'm more comfortable in that, like, 6 to 7, maybe 8 target kind of game type of
thing. I think my deal with him is that he's just not polished. Like, this whole like narrative that he's really smart and he's picked it up, I don't believe it. I haven't believed it. I haven't seen it. So you want to throw him a go-get-it route, a fade route, and just have him jump over a Dory Jackson to see if he'll come down with it? It's a low-percentage play. You want to throw him a slant route? Okay, fine. I mean, off coverage, that's a high-percentage play. You want to throw him ins? Okay, we'll see what the coverage is. But otherwise, he doesn't seem like a guy where the offense should run through. He's limited. And I also say he's got a carefree attitude about his routes, like Lou was talking about, his aggressiveness towards the ball. And I do think that there's this appeal to him that he's so physically gifted and you're running out of options. Listen, you know what? I'll just throw it up and Josh will go get it. He's done it before. You know what? I don't like this option over here. I don't have Gronk. I don't send Dwayne Allen out on routes. They're taking James White out. They're bracketing Edelman. All right, well, the book says I got man-to-man with Josh Gordon. I'm going to give him the ball. You know, it's his job to go catch it. Well, he doesn't, right? Then you go to him again and then again because nothing else is working, and it becomes like second nature that you go, you know what? He'll bail me out. To me, he's at his best when he's your third option, not when he's your first option. He'll make plays because he's gifted.
So the one thing that Tennessee did, and I thought they did a great job with this, they basically said New England can't run the football. I don't care if Sonny Michel's playing in this game. They can't run. So what did they do? They put a lot of lighter guys up front defensively, right? That's what they were doing. And so they were playing in these sub-packages, and they're sitting there going, yeah, we'll use our speed. We won't necessarily use body against their offensive line. We're going to use that speed, that quickness. Because even blitzing, because I know you want to get to the blitz number.
Oh,
but
no,
By the way, you missed it. So he puts his blitz number out there, how Brady's the worst at blitz.
Yeah.
Mike Lombardi slaps him in the face a couple times with it, saying, no, it's not true. Your number is wrong. I get the number.
Oh, he had some whacked-out-like program that
Brady
he had.
He was very good against the blitz.
That anytime it spit out a number, it made sure he was right.
But here's what I just looking at this game.
Do they look like they're good at picking up the blitz and converting plays?
No, thank you very much. And by the way, James White, who we like, usually is pretty good. He really had trouble picking up any of the blitz blocking because he got steamrolled a couple times. But Brady was rushed at times with just four guys. That's not in your stat.
Five or more. Yep.
He got rushed by four guys and he's unloading.
Well,
they were bad
at both of them.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, chart that one up.
Yeah,
I don't care.
It's more than the blitz, I think. And didn't you think the offensive line was awful yesterday? I thought they were. I thought the two tackles were horrendous. Karras with Shaq Mason was not much better. I didn't think they got any protection.
No, I didn't think they were good. Blitz or no blitz, just overall. And listen, coverage wise, I'm gonna give a tip to the cap to Adoree Jackson. Like he played his ass off. He was great.
Yeah,
he was great.
And
the one name that I never
Josh Gordon.
Yeah, and the one name that I didn't hear once was a guy that we talked about all week.
Correct.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't hear his name called once.
So is that the reason why he didn't go to Josh Hogan? I mean, to Chris Hogan?
I mean,
because he was covering Hogan. Was that blanket coverage over there?
No,
or
it was not. A lot of off coverage, too.
He was doing that, and he had Edelman a few times. And he was on the sideline, too, Lou. They were bringing him in
they
had some
Logan
packages.
And Adoree Jackson.
Yes.
But they went three wide a lot. Right. I think I saw you had 50 snaps, right? They played. I mean, the wide receivers, I just told you, they played like 54. Right. He was out there for 50 of them.
But that's a good question, because I would say most of the time, the biggest percentage would be him on Hogan. Was he doing that great a job that they couldn't get the ball to Chris Hogan? The only reason I question that is it's been 3 weeks now that Chris Hogan has virtually been invisible out there on the field. And he's playing. It's not like he's on the sideline. If he can't do it and Brady's not going to throw the football to him, what is he out in the field
for?
Well,
my thing is like,
why did
he have
Dorsett out there? Why don't we try somebody else?
Guys that need to be guys that I think have earned more reps. Okay, Philip Dorsett has earned an opportunity to be involved more. I mean, he comes up.
I'm not sure he's earned.
Well, I'm just saying, what have you seen?
You've seen they don't go Hogan. That's the only thing you've seen.
I would say like every time he's been in there, very limited number of snaps. He comes up with a big play. That's all I'm seeing. He came up with a big play yesterday. He came up with a big play, a big catch. The week before that, his numbers are small. His opportunities are small. So
he's playing the Amendola role.
Well, not yet. Not yet. I'm not going to give him that yet. But every time you give him an opportunity to make a play, he makes it. In this offense, that's what gets you more looks. What gets you less looks is what Gordon did. Hey, we threw you the ball 12 freaking times. You only caught it 4 times. This guy, at least, we're going to do one time a game, and he's catching it. We're not even including Chris Hogan. And with this offense, it's creative. All the credit we give them for being creative and getting other guys involved. And the best, Tom Brady's favorite receiver is the open one. Well, let's try to figure out a way to get other people involved.
Do you think that's the case?
No,
right
it
now?
Isn't. I don't
no,
think
he's forcing
it, is.
It to
he's
Gordon
forcing
because
it to
of
Gordon.
That reason, like you said. Like if it's last minute and he's got pressure on him, and he was seeing ghosts after a while as well. He just throws it to the guy. Like he says, one on one. I think he can catch the ball one on one.
Yep.
Even if he is covered, I think I can catch it. But, I mean, he threw it in there a couple times. I think one time there was, like, three guys on him.
That's the play that you're talking about. He was not running. That was the second half, right?
Yeah.
He was not running off the ball.
He was double covered, but there was a safety on top that kind of came in right, too, when he dropped it. It was like, whoa.
I'll tell you the one that bugged me even more was, I forget when it was. It was in the, he had slipped.
He overthrew him.
He overthrew him. But he slipped, and I remember it was 3rd and 6.
We don't know if he overthrew him or not,
because
he's basically
because
on his knees.
Because he fell down. Okay, it was 3rd and 6. It was off coverage. He had a big cushion, and he was like 4 yards past the first down marker, and then the defensive back was 4 to 6 yards past him. So there was no urgency. He didn't need to rush it. He had plenty of time, and he fell.
Lost his footing.
I don't get it. Like, to me, that is not just a once in a lifetime thing. He has so many of those routes where he is either in the wrong place, adjusted at the wrong time and at the wrong depth, or he drops it.
But that's usually a recipe for Brady not throwing the football.
What are his options? Okay. Which I think there's this weird subconscious like attraction or appeal to him was like, you know what? At least I know Josh will go up and give me a shot. Instead of like figuring out a ways to get Chris Hogan open. Like, get him open. Design a route to get him open.
He's falling for the trap that so many have with Josh Gordon as well. He sees the talent.
Yeah.
Right? When he throws him balls, whether it's practice or whatever, sometimes in games, you go back to that bomb he threw in the end zone weeks and weeks ago, or a couple fourth down plays, he's gone his direction, and a couple times that's paid off to the point where he starts to see the talent that he has, and he's starting to fall for it as well.
Maybe
you know what I mean?
Just
like, okay, I'm going to go to him because he's that good. Only to be let down, because he's either dropping balls or he's slipping because he's panicking or whatever it might be. And it's because of there's nobody else out there.
So how has Chris Hogan suddenly disappeared? I mean, it wasn't like he was being targeted an awful lot. But I go back to the Chicago game, 7 targets. He gets 6 catches. Next week in Buffalo, 2 targets, 2 catches. Green Bay, 2 targets, 0 catches. And Tennessee, we're down to 1-0. Last 2 weeks, 0 yards. How is that possible when you're having trouble
the guy he's counted on before and shown trust in?
Exactly. I'm not sure I get this one. It could be that Chris Hogan is really bad right now. But if that's the case, as Christian said, why isn't Dorsett picking up those reps? Why is he still out there?
I think this is one of those weeks where everybody gets a new opportunity to involve themselves in the offense
because of the extra time.
Well, no, the extra time, and you don't look. You need to make plays. Right. Like you need to be reliable. As good as Josh Gordon is, he isn't reliable. Right. He isn't reliable in his life outside of football, and I don't think he's reliable on the field. There's a reason why he succeeds in crappy offenses where they don't have any talent. You're our only option.
Well, you
We're
going to
really keep going
on,
to you.
You are
no,
really
I'm not down on him. I'm just telling they're not doing him
he
any
can't
favors.
Be the number one option.
They're not doing him any favors by putting him in that position because he's not capable of doing it. And the other thing that stood out to me is like when they start overpraising somebody, when I know I'm seeing something different, I know they're full of crap. Like, oh, he's really smart. No, he isn't. I don't think he is. Like, he isn't. Oh, he picks up the offense. Yeah, probably. But he doesn't look like a smart football player to me. He looks like a lazy football player to me.
You've been saying this for weeks, and I must say, Lou, I'm starting to believe in Foray. I'm starting to believe in him.
Okay.
He's making some sense. All of the things he's been saying the last few weeks are all coming true.
No, this is the ultimate Josh Gordon, because I would agree with you.
Yeah.
And I was a guy that still, the sad thing is that, again, I can go back to sit there and say, well, you know, at the end of the year, if he keeps kind of like where he is right now, he is on pace for 55, 60 catches, you know, in 13 games or 12 games, however many he's going to play for you.
Maybe even 72.
Well, yeah, and still get like 800 yards.
Yeah.
You know, so you might look at the numbers and say, well, he's still going to put up the numbers, well, because he's so talented. But when you look at him a lot of times, you wonder, you're like, is he really running? Is he going all out?
Check this out. So this is interesting to me, okay, which is I should not be surprised. So when you look at the amount of targets in each one of the years that he's played in, he's never been over 54%.
Yeah, but see, that's kind of skewed, or at least you would think it was, because you don't watch him every single week, and you would sit there and say, well, he's had eight different quarterbacks. I mean, he had, you know, Clipboard Jesus as his quarterback. Every week there was a different freaking quarterback.
I don't think it's that far off.
But now,
I mean, these
numbers are similar with Tom Brady.
Well, to me, that's why I looked at it. I was like, all right, so he's... Everybody throws him the ball, right? So everybody's throwing him the ball. Is he not getting open? Is he dropping the ball because he's screwing up and the ball gets thrown in the dirt or gets thrown over his head? Are some of them attributed to him dropping the ball? So, okay, so he's going to have a lot of yardage, right? Because he catches the ball, he'll make people look stupid. But in 2013, when he had over 1,600 yards receiving, he had 159 targets. He caught 87 of them. That was his best year at 54.7%.
That was a long time
ago. Every year after that, it's just down.
Long time ago.
It's like,
well, right now he's got 26 catches and 49 targets right now.
But he's at 53.1%.
See, the biggest problem I have with him
is... You can't beat 50% catch rate.
No, you can't.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
So you're going to catch the ball 50% of the time I throw it to you?
No.
Okay, let me... We're all looking for consistency, right?
No.
Reliability, right?
Right.
That's not him.
Do you know what Drew Brees is averaging right now throwing to his receivers? 78%. I mean, it's off the charts. So we all thought, coming in, if he could keep his head on straight, to be a third guy, fourth receiver, third weapon, he would be valuable here. He could help them out. Right now, he's the man, and I'm not sure he can be the man. We're going to get to your phone calls, and we'll talk a little bit about this. If you missed
when does Bill come in? I can't wait for
Bill
that.
Bill comes in at 3 o'clock. We're all going to do...
I'm getting sick.
And we're all going to leave. We've got a dentist coming in. We're going to take a root canal at 3:45. We're doing that on the show. We got to hear from Dion Lewis. We will do that. And the ultimate FU.
I'm getting a nosebleed.
By Mike Vrabel.
I'm getting a cough.
To Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. We'll get to all of that as well. But we're going to your phone calls. Your reaction on what you saw yesterday. Unusual this late in the season for the Patriots to play this poorly. But it was bad. Ugly. 617-779-7937.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Just had to, just let our team know that these guys are beatable. You just got to take it to them and be physical, and we'll wear them out. Like I told these guys, I played there, so I know those guys, and I know that if you be physical with them and let them have it, they'll fold.
Yeah, it's a real sweet win, especially when you used to be there and they didn't want to bring you back. So definitely real sweet. I'm happy my teammates came out and played, and I love these guys.
So it is a little personal.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your ass kicked.
That's Deion Lewis. Not factual, but what the hell? He can do it. When you win the game, you can go out there and you can talk all you want.
Bigger, just a big jackass.
But you can do it.
You know, I'll go back to the first part that he said. You know, if you be physical, you can beat this team.
Nah.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, it's only you know, a handful of games they lose every year, correct?
They don't fold.
So, no, I'm just saying, but when they do lose, it does sometimes look like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes a certain team, a certain roster, a certain game plan to go out and make the Patriots look like this. There's a lot of teams that go out there and try to be physical. It just doesn't matter. Patriots beat up on them. But, yeah, that we've seen this kind of stuff before. Just usually you see it in September. You know, a physical team, like back in the day, even like a Baltimore type of team, type of defense, or a Denver type of defense where, you know, you just try to be so physical, you know, and Deion Lewis has seen it. So, but they just, you know, they execute the game plan. You give Vrabel all the credit in the world and Dean Pease all the credit in the world for the game plan they put together.
They out-coached Bill and the staff.
No question about it.
But you tell me, was what you saw more Tennessee? Or was it more of what the Patriots didn't do? Because I agree with Christian. I think the Patriots showed up with nothing. They give up a 56-yard return.
Yeah. I think it was Tennessee.
You thought a big part of it was Tennessee.
Absolutely. Right. They came and they beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, I think.
Absolutely. Game plan, they didn't, you know, they weren't caught off guard. I mean, there was one thing I was telling you, the quote that Vrabel had talking about Dean Pease. He said he had them ready to go. They were prepared. They weren't caught off guard. We were lined up and we didn't hand them anything. Right. How many times do we sit there and say, Jesus, how do you know? The quarterback sneak, you're not ready for that. Or Brady gets you with too many men on the field. Or they work their offense quickly and the defensive guys running around left and right not knowing what to do. That did not happen. That team was ready for everything the Patriots gave them. They didn't hand them anything. Like we see a lot of teams just hand the Patriots stuff. Stupid plays, defensively, penalties, whatever you want to call it. They did none of that. They did absolutely none of that. Give Tennessee all the credit in the world.
Well, and that to me was... That quote you just read is something that I think we all could kind of look at and go, wow, the very first play, they were ready and in position for everything. Now, Vrabel alluded to it. Listen, hey, we can only put them in the right position and tell them where to go, but they got to make the play. So the very first play is a pass to James White. He's hit right at the line of scrimmage by Vaccaro. Okay, so he's in the right position. So it doesn't take – it doesn't. And the next play, Brady is pressured, right? And he doesn't slip. But he gets rid of the ball so fast that you're like, oh, crap, man. He thought he was going to get killed. And I would go back to even the quarterback sneak, which nobody – no matter how many times
he runs it. Is that the strangest quarterback sneak you've ever seen?
There was no way that was going to work.
Third and two?
I don't know. You guys had the same reaction I did.
Third and two?
I'm watching it. It was a legitimate two. I don't think there was anybody that could be watching that sat there. And we all know. What's his percentage, like 98% or something like that in those situations? That third and two, that was a long two, plus they shifted and bogged down the middle, and Brady saw it.
Well, it's the second week in a row where we actually sat there and said, wow, defense has finally figured it out. Remember Green Bay at the goal line?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Green Bay, the game at the goal line, when they had like three guys over the center?
That wasn't 2 yards.
No, it was 1 yard. But yeah. I'm just saying, as far as defending the quarterback sneak, you see it so often with him. And I think we saw the same thing here, but this one was third and two.
He had no shot. There was no shot.
Well, the thing is that
I don't know if you guys said the same thing before. When they come out there, you look at it and go, oh, my God, they're going to quarterback sneak. They got no shot.
Well, see, here's
this.
The thing. So you guys have seen him do this quarterback sneak a million times. And
yeah.
I guarantee you, you could tell when it's coming.
Yeah. The back foot goes back a little bit.
You just see he goes on the center. He digs in. You could see
the back
it, right?
foot falls back as he looks to push off.
Yep. And then there's an obvious gap there where Andrews goes to one side, and he just kind of finds the hole. So, but defenses don't have a clue. And I guarantee you they all have the same alert. Any short yardage situation, third and one, or second and one, any short yardage situation, one or less, alert. If he's under center, quarterback sneak. Okay, but guess what? The defensive tackle did not shift. The linebacker says, hey, right. alert, scoot your butt over the center.
Linebacker.
And he jacks Andrews up to the point where his helmet was upside his chin,
right.
and he killed the play right then and there. And you're sitting there going, oh, well, they're not messing around.
Nope.
They're not messing around.
Nope,
they're
ready.
And they're looking at all their keys, and they're on point with every situation, and they're right where they need to be. And you know what? It worked.
Okay, let's get to the phone calls. I know we got a lot to talk about with this game. And as we said, Belichick will be here at 3 o'clock, I'm sure, in a great mood. Here's Bob in Brookfield. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Bob.
Good. Okay, I don't know what the big surprise is here. Tennessee was a playoff team last year. the score doesn't show it, but they came in here last year and gave the Patriots a pretty good fight.
No, they did.
Well, not really.
They barely got by Kansas City. Remember,
for a quarter,
Mariota like Mariota like threw a pass to himself, and that's how they ended up beating Kansas City. They were cooked by the time.
Bob,
they
are
got
you telling
there.
Me you're not surprised by this loss?
Not at all.
I'm shocked.
Tennessee has improved. Their head coach used to play here.
Right.
Who knows Tom Brady better than him?
Right.
And the Patriots aren't the team they were last year, obviously. So how can you think that they're going to do well against an improved playoff team of last year?
Because I think they're much better, and we saw it last week against Green Bay, so they were playing well. They had won how many games in a row? Patriots were kind of getting their act together, and Tennessee shoved them back about
five
steps.
Listen, they started off 3-1, and then they lost to Buffalo. You know, then they got smoked by the Ravens. And they lost to the Chargers, so they lost three straight. They had a bye week. They beat Dallas, which we don't know if they're any good or not. Right. So you can sit there and say that the Tennessee is a good team. I think Tennessee, to me, is obviously they looked great yesterday.
Yeah.
But even then, I would sit there and say I still think they're like fifth or sixth best team in the AFC. So they're like that next level, that next tier. But do you think Tennessee's got a chance to go to the Super Bowl?
I don't think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so they're a good team, but they're not a very good team.
I think you're alone on this one, Bob. I think most people were shocked at what happened.
They're a good
NFL
team.
And they're trying to find answers. And nationally, I think their answer is that that Brady sucks. He's finally fallen off the cliff.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. But I think the Patriots are now a good team and not a great team.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yes. Well, they have the.
You know what a great team looks like? A great team is Kansas City. That's a great team.
There are four teams right now that have a better record than the Patriots. I think that's fair. There are four teams above them right now. But Tennessee is not one of them, and I don't care where you play in the game, and you can't say it was a hostile environment when half the fans were Patriot fans down there. I am shocked at this one. This one is stunning.
I'm more shocked at how
they weren't competitive.
Down.
But are you
they
not competitive?
No, I know, but if that's what I'm saying. If they lost by 3 points in Tennessee, I'd say, wow, okay. Yep. But the way that they got blown out, on every pretty much every phase of the game,
they're never in the game.
They were never in this game. No. Tennessee was the better team the entire game.
Even that Detroit game, there was a time that they were in the game.
Well, they were in this game, but I just never felt.
I didn't think they
17-10. They had an opportunity to actually get points at the end of the half. They just stalled, and it just looked again. It looked like they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
But it feels like they always have a game. Even when they're great, they have some game, and it could be in the middle of the season. You're like, oh, geez, where'd that come from? It's like they lose to teams that you don't expect them to lose.
Not
to.
In game 10.
You're sitting there looking at the Green Bay Packers, going,
rarely
oh, wow,
game 10, though.
You should really should. You should not lose to the Green Bay
Christian,
Packers. No, they
totally
can lose
disagree.
To them.
You're right, talking so about you, early do, season. Yes, you are absolutely right. They do
they
not
always
do it.
Have stinkers.
Go back and look it
they
up.
Always
they
have
do
stinkers.
Not do it in game 10 and beyond. They don't.
No,
this
Christian,
is when they get
might,
their act
they might,
together.
But they might lose a game.
So last year it was Pittsburgh
no,
that they
do,
lost. They, no, they
Miami.
Beat Pittsburgh. Oh, was it Miami?
Miami game was a stinker down in Miami.
And that
but
was
you
when?
Were, you were 10-2, you know, going into that game.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, you've lost games. Like, you go back and years ago, what, Kaepernick came in? Oh, and then they lost to Seattle, I think, at home. Or
But
you know,
good teams, those
Yeah,
Super
but
Bowl
you
teams.
Lost by three, by four.
Yeah.
You never got embarrassed midseason. The last time you've done that was 2010. Mangini and Peyton Hillis out in Cleveland. The year before that was New Orleans. Remember when Bill Belichick's on the sideline and says, I can't get these guys to figure it out on the road or whatever it was? But since 2010, you've lost games in the middle of the year, but you've never gotten embarrassed.
Will you say that we overrated Green Bay just a tad because of the
good.
Aaron Rodgers factor? Like, we gave them way too much credit. And that win, as good as it felt, really isn't as good as because Green
maybe.
Bay isn't a very good team.
No, maybe.
So you had some false – like, I don't know, so you just felt a little, you know, better than you should?
Maybe. I think everybody overrates Green Bay because they overrate Aaron Rodgers.
But now you might look at it and say, well, going into Chicago and winning's a pretty good game. It's a pretty good
win.
6-1
team now.
Right? That's a pretty good win.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, when you show up.
Christian, they are number one in the NFL, believe it or not.
Who is?
In the Patriots in victories on strength of schedule. So, in other words, the teams that they've beaten combined have the best win-loss record of any team in the NFL.
Well, look at
I don't
the teams
know if it means
lost
anything.
I
mean, right.
I'm just saying, like,
that's
Detroit
it.
And Jacksonville.
That's it.
Look who they are now.
That's it. Jacksonville's dead.
Yeah, but
done.
Again, team,
so is Detroit.
So, but Jacksonville, like, these one-off situations where the team, like, It's like this red letter game and a lot to prove. Jacksonville, a lot to prove. Big game. This is our Super Bowl.
This is Tennessee.
Detroit going on the road. Detroit. Well, no, I would say there was a little bit of personal flair to this that made this game more important than the others. And we'll see what Tennessee does next week.
We'll see what they do next week. They're in Indianapolis next week.
And then Indianapolis, that's a scary game for them because they can put up points and whatever. But this one, I almost felt like we should have gave more credit to this being a possible letdown game. You have the bye week right around the corner. You feel really good about yourself. You're not practicing too hard. You're looking at them the way they beat Dallas. Says, well, you know, that's a one-off situation. Dallas sucks. But now you're looking at Dallas beating Philly. You're going, wait a second. I think they underestimated this team. And the passion, if you're going to give a percentage to passion and want to and attitude, Tennessee had it
a lot more.
Defensively, just look at their body language after plays. And you can see there was a lot of inside jokes that the defense was doing based on the way the hand gestures and the high fives and everything. This was more important to them.
Well, somebody in the show did it on Wednesday, and then Sybil Fourier came out on Thursday and went in a different direction. Here's Dino. Here's Dino. Next up here on OMF. Hi, Dino.
How you doing, guys? So yesterday I made that point about Edelman taking him off the field. The only reason I said that was because when you're only throwing to two guys, and then afterwards I heard Christian made his point, when you're only throwing to two guys and you take one of them off the field, I didn't think that was great, especially at the time in the game. But my Hogan point is,
who are taking off the field?
No. Yesterday I made a point about when the 17-10, they hit Edelman on a crossing route, got it to the 40, and you know.
All right. Well, let's get to today. Let's get to today. I don't want to do a review of the real postgame show. So get to today. Your point on Hogan. Go ahead.
Okay. So you think it's any coincidence that all the routes that Hogan was running—shallow cross, deep cross, back shoulders, curl routes—now all of a sudden those routes are going to Gordon. So, you know, you sometimes yesterday you were saying that, you know, he's not getting separation, but I mean, you can't even see the receivers on the field.
No, and I said that. I said I don't know if he's getting separation. I've got to believe he is because we believe in Brady, right? So we believe that Brady always throws to the open receiver.
Right.
So we've seen enough of this. Maybe that's not the case. I don't know.
Right. Yesterday on a third down, on a fourth down when we went for it, like Dorsett was wide open in the middle of the field, and he tried to force it into Edelman. But, like, I'm just at a loss because Hogan was productive for us. Dorsett started out, and now Dorsett doesn't barely see the field.
Okay, and that's the point I think we brought up with Hogan. We don't get it either. Why is Hogan out there if he's just playing a decoy on every play? Because that's pretty much what he's doing.
Well,
right now.
I tell you, I mean, I think every team in this league right now is looking at the pressure this team put on Tom Brady and how he looked. He looked spooked.
Yep.
He did. I mean, and it was three sacks there. But how many times was he going down, throwing the ball away?
Out of bounds.
They're going down. So rather than taking a sack, he just threw it away. So you could sit there and say there's only three sacks. I felt like there was more seven or eight because he just chucked it away. And then there were also times, and we've seen this from him in the past. It's been a while, but you're seeing ghosts.
I'm afraid!
You know, he was. And it's because of the pressure they were putting on him. He wasn't trusting the offensive line. You know, and those blitz numbers, they are what they are. Like you're saying, they were getting pressure on him with four guys. That's fine. But, you know, when you look at the numbers that were thrown out there, I think six times, one for six. And you look at the last five games compared to the first five games. I mean, it's off the charts. I think Giardi had it. It was like completion percentage the first five games when a team blitzes, 77.8. Quarterback rating of 148.7 and four touchdowns. I mean, that's off the charts. That's Tom Brady. Yeah. The last five games, 44% completion percentage and a quarterback rating of 56. Ooh. 56. Touchdowns, one interception.
Well, if your main target is going to be Josh Gordon, then the plays and the pass routes he's
going
to take more time.
But why does he beat you with the blitz? It's not because of like Josh Gordon dropping balls. It's because Tom Brady's got all the answers to the test.
Yeah.
You want to blitz him, he knows where it's coming from. He knows because you're blitzing from here, I'm going to go there. He's going to be open. Because you're blitzing from there, he's going to be open. He sees it before it happens. Is he not seeing it before it happens?
No, but
it looks like straight panic mode.
No, but I think a lot more of it is, and there were a couple plays yesterday where they came uncontested at him. But on the whole, it was usually the offensive line collapsed. He was in the pocket. He's moving around the pocket. It's an extended play now, and then they catch up on him on the backside because Trent Brown couldn't hold his guy, and his guy got around him. Right.
He dropped, the drop was too deep. The quarterback, he went too far back because there was so much pressure inside. There's the offensive line had a bunch of issues, and just, you know, from Cannon went out, then Waddle went in. Then Cannon went back in, then Waddle went to left tackle. Right, so just the Waddle himself was like kind of serving a multi-purpose role, just for his ability to play right tackle and left tackle.
Listen, they're not going to say anything. They're not going to make excuses, but it could be that they did have an illness problem. Trent Brown didn't practice all week. He's a big dude. Now suddenly you put him out there on a Sunday to go out there and ask him to give you 70 or 80 plays. That's not easy conditioning and everything else.
And
right?
I'm not saying
and maybe
that
the other guys got it from him because Cannon was sitting
but
a
it's
little
not
bit
like
in the second half.
Trent Brown hasn't had the lifestyle career of Josh Gordon, correct? But you are now relying on Trent Brown at left tackle.
Sure are.
And there's a reason why San Fran got rid of him, because they couldn't rely on him. Right? I mean, they thought his play was inconsistent. They questioned his effort level.
They did.
They questioned all of these things, whether those injuries or whatever, right? Like, is he engaged each and every play? That was one of the things when he came over in camp that everybody kept pointing at. Well, we'll see. He looks good today, but one of the knocks on him was he doesn't show up to play all the time.
But he's been good so far this year.
You're relying on Trent Brown at left tackle. You're relying on Josh Gordon. Two people that haven't been very reliable in their entire careers as far as football players go. And that's what this team is now relying on.
No, it's a legit
point. That's not good.
It's a legit point. That wasn't what I was pointing at with Trent Brown. I'm not disputing the point, but if he was sick this week and he didn't practice all week and he's taking medication and everything else, he's a big dude. He might have just got worn out because Waddle was playing a lot. And by the way, Waddle was pretty bad in the time that he was out there. And maybe a bunch of them got in the offensive line. Matt Slater apparently got it as well, and he looked fairly lethargic in that game yesterday. All right, we get to more of your phone calls. Bill Belichick coming up right after 3-617-779-7937.
Take OMF with you wherever you go.
I thought I'd sitting here 7-3 bye week and kind of moving forward from this.
Yeah, we'll move forward. Worry about next week.
Bill, is a guy like Josh Gordon getting like 12 targets and other guys like Hoagie getting one, is that the way you guys want things or just how it happens?
Yeah, we talked about this ad nauseum, Greg.
He had something for Greg Bedard yesterday, didn't you?
Huh?
It was something.
I think he always does.
Yeah, there was something there. It was like.
He likes you, though.
Yeah. No, not today. Not today. He likes you, too.
We'll
not
see.
Today.
You know, I think we're all in Lou's boat today.
We're going
to see what it's like to be Lou.
That's exactly it today.
I was like, I always want to see what it was like to be Lou. No.
We'll get the stink eye just like
Nothing
Lou
more important than this, Lou.
Nope. Back to the
what
phones.
A difference a week makes, huh?
Back to the phones before we get to,
so good.
To Belichick. Here's Lewis in a car. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. But
you got it.
I love
Lou, how we doing?
The radio. And you guys... every time one of these games happen, you guys sound like high school announcers.
How's that?
Listen, out of the four teams that played in a championship game last year, the Patriots are the only team that have an inside track to just making the playoffs, never mind anything else. And yet...
And did we say, as high school announcers, did we say that that was not going to happen, that they weren't going to make the playoffs? Anybody said that yet?
No, I don't mean it that way. Is that you guys are so critical to the point. As a fan, this game, to me, was the best thing that could have ever happened to the Patriots. If you're looking long-term for them to make strides in the playoffs, this is what needs
So this
to
was
happen.
A good thing you're telling me yesterday. So you liked what you saw yesterday. You watched this yesterday. You sat there and you clapped. With your little Patriot foam finger, and you said, this is good. This is exactly what we need.
Yeah, it'll teach you to appreciate the wins more.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
So you're like a high school fan.
Want to win.
Yeah.
We want him to win.
Come on. Come on. Hey, Lewis, you're pissed, and you're such a fan, you just don't want to accept that maybe this was really negative yesterday. Jim, they looked horrible yesterday. Why don't you admit it?
They looked bad.
Horrible.
Of course they did. But you guys and your comrades also announced a few weeks ago lost to Jacksonville that Jacksonville and we're going to be the championship game against the Patriots again. Now, Jacksonville,
yeah, not me.
Lewis,
you didn't listen to me.
Lewis, just curious.
High school announcer one.
What did you think of the Sox bullpen going into postseason?
I thought there was a lot of questions.
Duck Boats!
How dare you question those guys?
Duck Boats!
How dare you question those guys? Listen, they played like crap. They looked like crap.
Sound like a high school call.
What should we do? You know what? We'll just show up here today. You know, the Patriots look like crap, but we're not going to talk about how bad they look because they might actually go to the Super Bowl, and then we'll look like fools. We shouldn't talk about how the Celtics are 7-6 and look like crap right now because they could be in NBA Finals and we'll look like fools. What, we shouldn't talk about all the negative? We shouldn't talk about Tuukka Rask and how he has sucked so far this year because he's going to be great at the end of the year and we'll all look like fools. What should we do? Should we say that they looked good last night and that this was good for them?
No. You guys got to do your jobs, and it's an entertainment, I understand. But you guys also, when I say about high school announcers, is that one week you guys are praising a team, no matter, not just the Patriots or any other team, because of performance, and you praise them to the point you say, hey, all these accolades, they're so good, they're great, they're going to be in the playoffs.
They are going to be in the playoffs, but we haven't said they're going to win the Super Bowl. None of us have picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year. See, I think you got it opposite. The high school announcers are the ones that are the fanboys who sit there and everything is great and wonderful.
All right, let's go. Let's break it down.
Get the wrong.
So, Lewis, you think Kansas City is going to be in the playoffs?
He's done.
San Diego? Do you think Pittsburgh?
It'd be L.A.
Are we allowed to talk about that stuff? I think Kansas City is a very good team.
Please.
Was it okay? Can we do that?
You want to focus on the negative.
Yeah.
Should we do that or no? Patriots are going to make the playoffs, Lewis. Don't worry about it.
Here's Chris in Arlington next up here on EEI. Hi, Chris.
How you doing? Tagging on what Lou said about Brady looking scared. I thought he looked scared. I thought they looked like crap.
You'd look scared, too, if nobody was blocking for you about to hit you in the mouth. I mean, of course he's looking scared. I'd say worried, scared, anxious.
Somebody else, I think it was you, Glenn, jumped and said other teams are looking at this. Well, he looked the same as he looked in one of the Super Bowl losses to the Giants. The Giants seem to have his number. They peg him. They rush him. They do whatever they do.
Yeah, I don't think, Chris, I don't think I'm doing what the national people are doing, the Rob Parkers of the world, and he was at it again last night trolling away, and I fell victim for it, and he responded to me, which was even worse.
He's the loat.
But we're not sitting here telling you that he's fallen off the cliff. I think I need to see about 6 or 7 or 8 games in a row where you really see that he's good. In trouble. Yeah. But he was horrible yesterday, and yes, he was seeing ghosts.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, you were saying that other teams are looking at what they did to him yesterday. And whatever the Giants did to him, they were able to do, but other teams haven't been able to do. I just don't know what the difference is.
Having the personnel to be able to
do it. And I think, I don't know, just like maybe good coaching to be able to discipline to do it and to get the guys lined up. You got Vrabel after the game talking about Tom Brady. Do you have that one?
You know, you got to make Tom blink, and if you make him blink and have to go to a second read, he got a chance. But if you let him, you know, rip it to the first guy he looks at, it's going to be a long day. And so I think, you know, being able to combine the rush, the different patterns, and the coverage that we, we're able to execute, I think that all goes a long way. It's a coordination with 11 guys and a good call.
See, that's everything, and I think defending Tom Brady in this offense.
Yeah.
Take away the first look. That's everything. Tom Brady, when you close your eyes and envision this Patriot offense, you see Tom Brady 2-3 steps, boom, gets rid of it quick. Knows exactly where everything is going to looks at the defense and says, "All right, I'm going to take 2 or 3 steps back and I'm going to have Edelman right here. Or I'm going to have Gronk right here. I'm going to have Josh right here, or Hogan right here." You take that first look away and make him look at that second look, and right now he doesn't really have many options. There's only a couple looks.
Well, it's Josh Gordon
and Julian Edelman. So you take that first look away, that second one might not be there. And then you have Tom Brady looking like he did in the pocket, and you give the pass rush an opportunity to come up and put pressure on him. So Vrabel knew. Dean Pease knew. We've got to take this first look away. They knew what Tom wanted to do with the football.
Yeah. And, you know, and lucky for them that they didn't have to worry about a tight end. They basically played that entire game without a receiving threat at tight end. So Hollister comes in late, and he catches, one pass?
One.
One big pass, right? Dropped another one on third down. But think about the stress relief that you don't have. Forget about Gronk. You don't even have a marginal tight end. Dwayne Allen isn't going out on a route. He's blocking.
He's a blocking tight end.
And if he comes off the field, And if he comes off the field, okay, they're bringing in a receiver to take his spot.
I thought they did a terrific job of beating the crap out of Edelman off the line of scrimmage. They did the same thing with James White. They predicted when he was going to go out on a pattern. And those are things, once you're able to do that, you're right, Lou. You make it difficult for him to unload the ball quickly. That's what you do. But here's the other thing. They knew they were giving up the run. If New England was going to run the ball, go ahead. You can run the ball. They were more interested in stopping Tom Brady. And that's where the Patriots killed themselves, could not run the football.
Well, I mean, you want to, like, put it in order? You want to put it in no particular order, what their problems were?
There was a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised. I don't know about you guys. I was surprised. And I don't know if Sony Michel was kind of like on a – even though he was active, was he?
He didn't look
– But I'm just saying, like, you ran
the ball, I think, seven times in that first half. Offensively, there was a ton of pressure. So you sit there and say, okay, well, let's run the football then, right? And I know the Titans, numbers-wise, have a very good run defense as well. But I felt like did they give up on it too soon, or did they sit there and say, we're not going to be able to run the ball?
Well, they fell behind. So when you fall behind, two scores, you're suddenly sitting there
going. Two scores, the end of the first half. What about the first half when they ran the ball seven times? I don't think he ran the ball. I don't think he touched the ball for, like, the third drive. They didn't want to run. They weren't going to run the ball.
Well, for some reason, they looked at it and said that we're going to throw the football.
I mean, if you're down 14 points, you come out of that first half, you should you can sit there and say, we can do everything we want to do in this first drive. You know, whatever. We can run the ball. We can do whatever we want. We're down 14. You know, we'll just put one drive together. I don't think at this beginning of the third quarter you can sit there and say, we're down 14. We can't run the ball anymore. And they just
what stood out to me, though, if you really want to talk about how far ahead the Titans were on the Patriots and what they were capable of doing and all the options that they had and how they used them, and they just actually threw them in your face after the fourth and six, after they tried to go for it on third and fourth and one, they jumped and Brady had that pass. They go for it on fourth and six. They don't get it. The very next play, they ran six plays in the fourth quarter on their last drive. The first play was that double pass to Mariota. The second play was a toss to Derrick Henry. The third play was a QB option to Derrick Henry that was positive yardage. The fourth play was an old-school I formation with their tight end in the backfield. They gave it to Henry. Then they ran it again. Then their sixth play was a direct snap to Henry with Mariota motioning out, and they got a touchdown.
Fortunately, the game was over by that time.
But my point is, it's like, talk about rubbing it in.
Yeah, but
look what we have. Our quarterback is multiple. We're doing all these different things, and your quarterback is stumbling, bumbling his way to not get a first down.
Can we touch on that too, by the way?
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Can we stop throwing the ball to Tom Brady? It didn't work in the Super Bowl. When you get the ball in his hands, it's not exactly something you want to see.
Well, it was great until somebody put the chain across the field and then he tripped over it.
That was called the turf monster.
When they try to step the police cars, you know?
He's there to throw the football.
But I want to go back to a point you just made. You were talking about Vrabel and talking about Dean Pease. That's a gigantic advantage. There's one thing about watching film and seeing what the Patriots do. Everybody has access to that. There's another part of it, knowing every single day when you're in practice and you're competing against Tom Brady every single day,
which both these guys have done.
They get to see all that stuff,
but
and they get to know that certain things
it.
They can do.
There's a difference between knowing it and doing it.
Well, but Vrabel, the personnel was able to
Mike
pull it
Vrabel's
off.
Been on the defensive side of the ball for the Houston Texans now the last how many years?
Right.
How's that worked? Not too good.
Right.
So, okay, he gets together with Dean Pease.
He's
got personnel discipline enough to stay with.
We all know, the personnel is only part of it. 60% of it is...
But you need both of it. You need both.
That mental aspect that, okay, what are we playing for? What does this mean to us? Who are we trying to prove? What are we trying to prove? And who is it benefiting? I think it's just like the fact that that entire team kind of rallied around the whole, okay, we can take Bill Belichick and Tom Brady down. These guys have the blueprint.
You want to do it badly. I want to do it. We all want to do
it. We'll show them.
Hell, they had like seven, eight guys on that team, and then they bring down the GM, and they're saying, you want to do it too.
And that pass that they threw to Mariota after Brady, they threw it to Brady, that was an FU. That was an FU to Bill. That was an FU to Brady. We're going to show you, okay? And even and talked about it when the game was over. He came out and basically he said, yeah, we wanted to show them
first
we could do
pass.
It.
What goes through your mind when that play
called? Well, I wanted to see if it looked any better than there, so.
Smirk.
Yep. Marcus catch it better than Tom did?
He got up quicker than Tom did. I know that.
Boy, that is an FU. That whole
trolling
we'll get
the Patriots.
We'll get to that later on the post-game press conference. There's no question that Vrabel enjoyed that post-game press conference, you know? He enjoyed
that's an early game. They had a lot of time to party, too.
No question.
That game, 1 o'clock game.
Oh, he enjoyed that one. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. It is Patriots Monday. Bill Belichick, scheduled to sit down with us coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.